Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Tesvov. We begin three lines from the top of the Amud, relating back to yesterday, where we learned in the Mishnah that one who does Shechita on an animal on Shabbos, despite it being a severe transgression, which can lead to misa liabilities, so to skila, to being put to death by the way of the bezdin. So, despite the severity of the act, after all, the shechita is kosher, and the meat is permissible. However, we had a statement in the name of Rav who says, although the meat is kosher, but you may not eat it on that actual day. He did the Shechita today, Shabbos. You can't eat it today until Matzah Shabbos. If it was Yom Kippur, you have to wait on, right? And the question was, why? What's the basis of this new prohibition? If the Shechita is kosher, the meat is permissible. Why can't you eat it on the actual day of Shabbos, the day of the Shechita itself? Ela Marav Ashi. So basically, in the Beis HaMedrash, they related this ban, this Isser, to Rabbi Yehuda. And the question was, where? Which Rabbi Yehuda is it who prohibits the achila, the eating of the meat, on this day, on Shabbos? So we had several attempts at locating, at identifying that specific Rabbi Yehuda who relates to this issue. At this point, we haven't yet discovered the right source. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, I'll show you which Rabbi Yehuda. It's not an issue of Muktzah or any other issue that we discussed yesterday. It's a different Rabbi Yehuda who prohibits based on a different reason. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Rabbi Yehuda de Mevashali. It's the Rabbi Yehuda who discusses a fellow who cooks on Shabbos. It's not a Mishnah, with three opinions regarding one who cooks on Shabbos. It really depends whether he did it b'shoigeg, unintentionally, not realizing that it's Shabbos, etc., or he did it b'mezit, intentionally. And the question also is, who's going to eat it? Is it for him, the person, the violator himself? Or is it for other people? So let's see, this is not, we have a Mishnah, mevashel b'Shabbos, if a fellow cooked meat on Shabbos, which of course is one of the 39 malachis, prohibited forms of work on Shabbos. Mashal b'Shabbos. If he did it b'shoigeg, unintentionally, not realizing today is Shabbos, not realizing that this is a asur, yoichal, he may eat it. Even on Shabbos, there's no reason to penalize him. It was done unintentionally. However, b'mezid, if he did it knowingly, lo yoichal. In this case, not him nor anybody else is allowed to consume this food until after Shabbos, so that nobody will have any benefit from a malacha that was done on Shabbos. We don't want people to have anah from Isser. We don't want people to be tempted to do this on Shabbos. So you have to wait until Matzah Shabbos. Not only Matzah Shabbos, but somewhat into Matzah Shabbos. Suppose, it takes a half hour to do this cooking. You have to wait another half hour into Matzah Shabbos, leaving yourself enough time that it would actually take to cook this meat. So there's no benefit. There's no upside at all. There's no benefiting from this issue. Whose shita is that, Divrei Rabbi Meir? According to him, b'shoigeg, no issue, eat it even today. B'mezit, wait until Matzah Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, however, quote Rabbi Yehuda, even b'shoigeg, you have to wait until Matzah Shabbos. Yoichal Matzah Shabbos. Him and others, whoever wants to eat, have to wait until Matzah Shabbos. But not on Shabbos itself. Because we're not allowed to have any anah from a malacha that was done on Shabbos. Rashi explains that people don't trick, don't pretend. They'll do b'mezid and pretend that it was only b'shaygeg. So they made a knas all across the ban. You cooked on Shabbos, don't eat it. So again, b'dami b'shaygeg, yoichal matzoy Shabbos, wait until after Shabbos. B'mezid, if it was done b'mezid, lo yoichal. Oy lamis. So the fellow who actually cooked it, he's penalized permanently. You cannot have this meat. Others could, you know, matzoy Shabbos, but he can't. Rabbi Yechon ha-sandor oimer, Rabbi Yechon the... Sandler is to make shoes, and you're still Rabbi Yechanan, the great Rabbi Yechanan. He says we take it a step further. Rabbi Yechanan Sandler Omer, we go up one level all around. B'shoigeg yochel matzei Shabbos lachirim v'loiloi. If b'shoigeg matzei Shabbos, it could be eaten, but only to others. He can't eat it forever. We're concerned that if he does it, you know, b'shoigeg, next time we'll do it b'mezid. Off limits for you. And in fact, if it was done b'mezid, lo yeyochel. So b'shoigeg yeyochel matzei Shabbos, but b'mezid lo yeyochel elamis. Lo yeyochel elachir. The food cannot be eaten for all time. Not to him, not to others. Okay? So Rashi brings that this is not the point that we ban others from eating it. It's not based on a knas. They didn't do anything wrong. Rashi brings it's really a pasuk. It's a drasha. Ki kodeshi, Shabbos is kodesh, and we connect it to kachim. You can't eat it. That's only by a case of mezid. So we have three levels here. We have Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yechanan Sandler. Each one sort of picks it up a level. Okay, let's just organize things. So we have Rav Meir who says, b'shoigeg, don't worry about it. It's permissible for all. B'mezid, in this case, nobody eats it on Shabbos. Only after. Rabbi Yehuda takes it a step up. Even by shoigeg, nobody eats it on Shabbos. But mezid, he, the cook, who can't even eat it forever. According to Rabbi Yechanan Sandler, b'shoigeg, nobody could eat it. And after Shabbos as well, he can't eat it, only others. And if it was b'mezid, off limits to everybody for all time. So clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if one violates an Isra on Shabbos, like cooking food on Shabbos, even b'shoigeg, it's banned, it's usur. Likewise, in our Mishnah by a behema. Oh, here's a source. For a behema was shechted on Shabbos, which entailed a melacha, it's off limits, until Matzah Shabbos. Now, v'nukum v'mezit v'rab meir, the question is fine, but why did we have to specifically cite in Rav Yehuda? We could have explained that our Mishnah is going to Rav Meir, because usually an anonymous Mishnah follows Rav Meir, and was speaking that it was b'mezid, which according to Rav Meir would make it usur until Matzah Shabbos, but noikma b'mezid Rav Meir. So instead of saying the story was b'shoigeg and it's usur like Rav Yehuda, we can say it was b'mezid. And also like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir agrees that b'mezid it's usur on Shabbos. Like Sakadaita, he can't suggest that we're talking that it's b'mezid, and only b'mezid, that's why it's usur. The Tani, Yom Yodim HaKippurim, because look back in the Mishnah, which cites two scenarios. He did Shechita on Shabbos, and, you know, Yom Kippur. So we compare the two stories. Ma b'yom kippurim loyishna b'shoigeg loyishna b'mezid loyachal. Just like Yom Kippur, you can't eat this particular material today. It's Yom Kippur. Whether it was shechted, shoigeg, or mezid, it's irrelevant. So we're assuming likewise in the case that he shechted on Shabbos. It's a similar type of circumstance that it's usher today, whether it was shechita b'shoigeg or b'mezid. That can only work with the Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even by shoigeg it's usher today. Af hachanami here as well by shechita on Shabbos as well. Loishna b'shoigeg, loishna b'mezid. Whether they did it b'shoigeg or b'mezid, loyachal, you can't eat it today. So that's what Rav learns the Mishnah. And although the Mishnah seems to permit the meat of a shechita Shabbos and or Yom Kippur, but they're comparable. Just like the one on Yom Kippur. Still, you can't eat it today. It's Yom Kippur. Nobody eats on Yom Kippur. Likewise, the one that was done on Shabbos, you can't eat today. And apparently we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even if it was a Shechita B'Shoigeg, there's a Knas, you can't eat it today. Ask the Gemara. Hold it. Mishnah's B'Shoigeg? How can you establish the Mishnah as Shoigeg? For Rabbi Yehuda, it's going like him, who says that, you know, look at the wording in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if he shechted on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, although he is in severe violation and is liable to Misa, hold it, Misa, it's only by Mezid, not by Shegeg. Shegeg is not Misa. Even though he's liable to death, Hachikam, the Mishnah is like this. This very act theoretically can entail a death liability. That's how severe it is. It's just highlighting the severity. But in this particular circumstance, of course, we're talking about B'Shoigeg. And there's no Misa. Hachikam, the Mishnah means like this. Aval pi de b'mezid, mischai b'nashahu. Although, had he done this very act, b'mezid, it would have brought about death penalty. Hachad b'Shoigeg, shchitos ekshir. In this case, we're actually did a B'Shoigeg. Right? So again, despite the severe act, the shechita is kosher. But nevertheless, you don't eat it today because we don't want him having any hanoah from a melacha on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara. Okay, so it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. What about Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler? Why couldn't it go like that opinion? Who also bans, who also prohibits consumption of this meat today? The Amar who says Loishna b'shoigeg, Loishna b'meiz, Loyachol. According to him as well, if the malacha took place b'shoigeg or b'meiz, you don't eat it. So why couldn't the Mishnah follow that sheet? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler kamaflik Mitzvah Shabbos. It can't go like him because according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, let's fast forward to Mitzvah Shabbos. According to him, even after Shabbos, only others can consume it, not the actual violator. Lachirim, to others it's permissible, but loy, not to the actual violator. But that's inconsistent with our Mishnah because Tana Didan, our Tana, states it as a blanket fact. Shechitosek Sherektani says it's okay. Without distinguishing, without differentiating between the person and others. Loishna loy, doesn't matter whether it's him eating it, but loishna lachirim to offer others. They're both in the same boat. That only works according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, look, on Shabbos it's off limits to all, and on Matzah Shabbos it's mutter to all. Okay, so bottom line is, we've just discovered, we've identified the Rabbi Yehuda, who's the author of this, so to speak, of this opinion, who the one holds of the Shita, that was espoused by Rav, that a Shita on Shabbos is, although it's technically kosher, but cannot be consumed today, and that's like Rabbi Yehuda who says that even by Shoigeg, you have to wait until Matzah Shabbos. Which, of course, as we explained, is more machmer, he's more strict than Rav Meir. Who holds that if there was a malacha b'shoigeg on Shabbos, you can eat it no problem, even on Shabbos. Now what happened? Tani Tana, there was a chacham, who was an expert in braisos and mishnayos. He recited Kameh de Rav in front of Rav the following braisa. Hamavasha b'Shabbos b'shoigeg yoichal. B'meiz lo yoichal. If one cooks on Shabbos, it can be eaten. If it was b'shoigeg, b'mezid. If it was done b'mezid, lo yoichal, it can't be eaten. That was the way the Tana presented. And Rav responded by hushing him up. Shh, umishatikli Rav. Don't promote this halach. Why? Well, my time umishatikli. Why did Rav hush him up? What was wrong? Ilei b'mishmin sevir leik, Rav Yehuda. Is it because the Tana was presenting an opposing view, presenting a more lenient view in line with Rav Meir, who allows consumption of material that was processed on Shabbos b'shoigeg, whereas Rav was going like Rav Yehuda was more machmer. Ilem and Mishma Desvirle, Rav Yehuda is because Rav held like Rav Yehuda that even b'shoigeg you can't eat it today. V'tana, but the Chacham Tanik Rav Meir presented Rav Meir sheet that you could eat it today if it was done b'shoigeg. Is that why he shushed them up? Says the Gemara, that wouldn't be a good enough reason. Why would he silence him? Just because he's presenting a different view? It's a legitimate view. Mishum de Mesvirle Krab Yehuda, just because Rab personally held like Rab Yehuda, Manda, Tonic, Rameya, anybody who follows Rameya and presents Rameya's opinion mishatically, he would silence him. There's nothing wrong with the Brayis, it's an opposing sheet. Void furthermore. Does Rab himself really hold like Rab Yehuda? Void Misavala Krab Yehuda? Vam Rav Chanan, Barami, he taught us, Ki Moirulu Rav, Utamide, when Rav would instruct his Talmidim. So it was sort of an internal discussion without outsiders who perhaps are unlearned and don't have an appreciation and might get the impression that you can be lenient when it comes to these things. So when Rav would teach his own Talmidim, guess what? Moirei Luhuk Rabbi Meir. He would teach them Rabbi Meir's opinion. If one cooks b'shoigi on Shabbos, it's perfectly fine. V'chidorish b'pirka Krab Yehuda. Darish Krab Yehuda, when he would actually teach in public, he'd present a more strict view of Rabbi Yehuda so that, you know, people are more careful. Mishmami Ores, because of the Amma Ores that were there, and there was a concern if he's going to present a more lenient approach to the unlearned people, they'll belittle the halachas of Shabbos, they'll disregard, they won't take halachas Shabbos seriously. So clearly Rav himself personally held like Rabbi Meir. So here that the Tana presented Rabbi Meir Shita, why would he silence him? Because he perhaps will say it was in public. Tana Pirke Tana Kamei, the Tana who presented Rabbi Meir's opinion, well, it was in public, Pirke out in the public during the lecture. And Rav, due to his concern that the unlearned will listen up, will get the wrong impression, that's why he opposed it and he silenced him. Well, what's the issue? Why would they listen to the Chacham rather than to Rav, who's the teacher, who's the lecturer? You think the people that are coming to listen to the drasha, to the shir from the tzav, from the Chacham, are listening to the person on the side who's presenting facts? La Moira Tzaisi, they're listening to the Moira. That's the announcer, the one who loudly, you know, announced Rav's lecture. I mean, that was the attraction, right? They came to hear Rav. So what's the issue with the Chacham on the side talking other things? Amar Rav Nachman Ritzel, explain to you why Rav opposed the Tana. Actually, he was presenting a totally different version of the halacha. Rather than speaking about a fellow who cooked on Shabbos, he related about a fellow who did shechita on Shabbos. Tana, the chacham, shechid Tana kamei de Rav. He presented Rav with a halacha regarding a person who did shechita on Shabbos as follows: Hashoichid b'Shabbos, rather than cooking. We're talking about an animal that was shechted on Shabbos. B'shoigi yoichal. B'mezid lo yoichal. If it was done b'shoigi, okay, you can eat it today. B'mezid not. Amar le Sarab, when he silenced him, he explained to him what the issue was. My daitich. What are you thinking? Kerab Meir. Apparently, you're going like Rab Meir. In your mind, that's Rab Meir's shita. B'shoigi, you can eat the shechted animal on Shabbos, and b'mezid not. No. Rameir, if you look at Rameir's case, he was talking about a fellow who cooked. He cooked meat. Now, meat, technically, you can eat it raw. It's not very tasty, but you could eat it raw. So it's edible. Has a status of food. It's not muktzah, but an animal. It's muktzah. You can eat an animal. Right? So when you shecht it, it's muktzah. Ad kan like a shari of Rameir. Yeah, Rameir over there, the Brayis allows food that was cooked b'shogig on Shabbos, held b'mavashal only by a fellow who cooked. The roi lochus, where the meat material that was cooked was somewhat edible. You could potentially chew it raw, you could eat it raw. Lochus means to chew something, you know, and consume it in an abnormal way. So it's not muktzah. So that issue's off the table. Only, what's the issue? That it was cooked on Shabbos, a malacha. No, it was b'shoigig, it's okay. Aval shoichet, but in your case, we shechted on Shabbos. There's another factor at play. Mokza. Dein roi lochus. The basar, live animal, was not able to be eaten raw. Live animal, eber menachai. Lois, in this case, Rav Meir wouldn't allow you to eat it on Shabbos. It was set aside, it was mokza, because of the isra involved. So you can go to Rav Meir, you can't eat meat that was shechted on Shabbos. And that's why Rav silenced him. It's an incorrect depiction of Rav's opinion. Ask the Gemara, hold it. Let's go back to our Mishnah back on Daf Yudalev. A fellow shechted on Shabbos. And Rav himself tells us, you know what? According to Rav Yudah, you can't eat it on Shabbos. But according to Rav Meir, the Gemara implied, according to Rav Meir, it's okay. Hold it. Fine, that addresses the fact that malacha was done, it was only b'shoigig, we don't penalize. But what about the moktza fact? You just introduced a whole new element to moktza. It was a live animal coming into Shabbos. It was not ready for this purpose. It was not meant for consumption. From Asnisin the Sheikhadu, our mission is talking about a fellow who did Shechita. Rav told us that Dorash Chia Barav Mishmeid Rav, he quoted Rav, Asur Bachilu Yemei, can't eat it on the day of Shabbos. V'nos Mecharai Lameim, and the people in the yeshiva explained, Rabbi Yudah, he was going to Rabbi Yudah, like we explained before, because there's a knas, there's a penalty, but Ha Rav Meir, Shor, Kondor Meir, Shor, it's okay. Apparently there's no mukta issues. Why not? Answers the Gemara, you know why? There's no mukta issues. Listen to this. We're talking about a very unique circumstance. There is another factor at play which eliminates the mukta issue, which is typically there, but here it's not. Kishor Rav Meir, you're right, Rav Meir allows it in this case. Let's turn the page. Kigon was speaking, for instance, there was a seriously ill person on the premises, still from before Shabbos, who may need fresh meat on Shabbos to sustain himself, to keep him alive. In which case, it's pikuach nefesh. And Rashi says, right, because the choyle pikuach nefesh is derechas HaShabbos, so the animal was technically available, designated for this purpose, even though it's a live animal coming into Shabbos. But there is potential that you'll have to do shechita on this animal on Shabbos. So that cancels the muktzah element. It's a medes l'shechita, it's ready for shechita coming into Shabbos. So there's no muktzah issue. Ask the Gemara, hold it. So there was a choyle still from before Shabbos. So you knew, right, it was anticipated that there'll be a shechita. There's a chance of shechita. And he did the shechita on Shabbos for that purpose. So what's the issue? There's no mokta issue. And there was no malacha either. It's pekuach nefesh, it's motor, it's a mitzvah to save a person's life. So why would it be to say it's the asr? Why can't you eat the meat? What happened was the choyle had a four shalem, Baruch Hashem, on Shabbos he got all better. There's no reason to shech the animal for him, and he did it anyways. So in this case, it's a reverse situation. The mukta element is gone, because coming into Shabbos at the onset of Shabbos, which is the determinant factor, that's what establishes the status of mukta or non mukta. At that point, it was not mukta because the person was seriously ill. And it was anticipated they'll have to have a shechita for him on Shabbos. But turns out later he didn't need it, he got well. So muktzah is out of the way. Once muktzah is out of the way at the onset of Shabbos, they can't come back, right? So that's been addressed now. So what is the only issue? The only remaining issue that there was a malacha done on Shabbos. It was unjustified. There's shechita on Shabbos for no good reason. So that should be the zisr. He says, this is a knas. We can't eat it on Shabbos. As we learn the name of Rav, Amrilo, some say a different, was quoted by somebody else, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ado Amar Rav. In any case, it's all quoting Rav. Hashoichet l'choyle b'Shabbos. So here we have a fellow who got sick on Shabbos. Okay, so again, we're going to run back to the Mukta issue. So basically, what we're saying is that Rav's issue, the reason why he silenced the Tana was because of the Mukta issue, as we find in the next halacha of Rav. A fellow got sick on Shabbos and requires fresh meat. So we did the Shechita for him, it's okay. Asur labari. So this meat is now asur, off limits for a healthy person. Because although there was no malacha, there was no isur of malacha because it was pekach nefesh, which overrides Shabbos, but mukta is still present. Since coming into Shabbos, this was not expected, the chayla was not, there was no chayla around, so the animal became mukta, and now, even after Shechita on Shabbos, it retains that mukta status, so a healthy person, ordinary person, can eat it. Hamavash al chayla b'Shabbos. Suppose a person takes meat that was, you know, shechted before Shabbos, you have meat coming into Shabbos. There's no mukta issue there. Because as we said before, technically you can eat raw meat as well, so it's considered edible and suitable. And now a fellow has to cook the meat on Shabbos for an ill person. So again, there's no malacha done. So here we have no mukta issue and no malacha issue. A mash lochel b'Shabbos. Mutalabari, that can be fed. So leftover meat can feed it to a healthy person as well. My time, what's the difference between the cooked meat and the shechted animal? My time, a high roi lochus, because the meat that was in a meat status coming into Shabbos, it was edible meat, even though it was raw, it could be chewed raw. Vai ain't a roi lochus, but the animal that was shechted on Shabbos was not available for consumption. You couldn't eat it raw. So there's a mukta issue. Amra papa, pa amim. Sometimes you can switch it around, the reverse. Shashoichet mutter. Sometimes you shecht, it's okay for anybody, and mevashel is us. How's that? Pamu shachshechet muter. Then shayil lechayil meidyan. Like we said before, there was a sick person from before Shabbos, and he's still very ill, which necessitates shechita for him. So this shechted animal is not an issue for anybody. The shechita was muter, was a mitzvah b'koach nefesh, and there's no mukta because it was expected. Whereas mevashel asur, you can have a case of cooking on Shabbos, which is asur for a bari to eat, because of the mukta issue. Because she cuts like the las. So you cooked a pumpkin, which was cut as like that. You chopped it off for the sake of the ill person on Shabbos. So it was attached to the ground coming into Shabbos. It was mukta. So again, although here we don't have a cooking malacha issue, because it was done for pekach nefesh, but a regular person can't eat it because of mukta, because coming into Shabbos it was not suitable. Amar Rav Dimi Manardo, what's the conclusion? Hilchas Hashoych, this is a new twist on the whole story. Hashoych lochel b'Shabbos mutar lebari. Okay, so if you have a person who was chayla from before Shabbos, now it's Shabbos, you have to shecht for him. Mutar lebari, you can feed some of the meat to a bari, the healthy person. Mumtza, provided he eats it raw. There's no issue. My time, why? So firstly, mukta is a non-issue because since this person fell ill before Shabbos, it was expected that we'll have to do this for him. So the animal was sort of reserved for this purpose. Number two, malacha on Shabbos, well, it's pikuach nefesh, it's perfectly permissible. What about a concern of perhaps, you know, that he might actually increase malacha for the sake of the healthy person? Well, it's not an issue in this case. It's just an act of shechita. And the same act of shechita is needed for the ill person as for the healthy person. Meaning, once he shechts the animal for the chayla, there's nothing being added. There's no added, malacha dimension for the healthy person. My time, even the efsha kazayis basar, you can't have even a kazayis of meat below shechita without shechting the entire animal. So it's one act of shechita. In any case, right? Kika shachet. So when he does the shechita on the entire animal, even though there's a lot more than one kazayis, but it's needed, it's necessary, even to give him a kazayis. Hadata the chelak hashachet. the mindset, the plan, the purpose is for the ill person. Meaning, in order to feed the ill person, you have to shecht the entire animal. Once it's shechted, be my guest, give the healthy person as well. But a mevasha lo chayla b'Shabbos, however, if one needs to cook for a chayla on Shabbos. So again, although there's no mukta, there's no issue of melacha on Shabbos, but there's a new concern on top of this all. Asur labar, you may not feed any leftovers to a healthy person. Why? Gezerah the Chachamim were concerned that he might be tempted to add a little more to begin with. Well, you know, let's just add a little more just in case the chayla needs, but really, it's for the healthy person. Really, that was the underlying, you know, motive. Also, Lavor Exeret is a concern. Shema Yarba Bishvila, man, he might add material in the pot. He might increase the volume to feed the healthy person. And that's perfectly usher. Right? So a shchita is a shchita, whether it's for one person or for ten. But cooking, if you're going to add, well, that's an isra, it's a malacha. Okay, so bottom line is like this. In speaking about material prepared for a chayla, you have to evaluate three separate issues. You have to consider mukta, and that would be eliminated if the chayla was sick from before Shabbos, so you knew this was meant for him. You have the issue of malacha, which again is not an issue if it's for the sake of the chayla, and you have the third issue, gzeiro shem yarba b'shvilo, that applies to cooking only, says the Mishnah. Okay, what type of tools, what type of utensil is one meant to use for shechita? Right, we know about a knife. What about a sickle? What about a saw? What about any other sharp instrument, whether it's connected to the ground or disconnect? Hashoichet b'magal yad. If one uses a magal yad, a hand sickle, Rashi describes it as having two sides to it. So one side is like a semicircle, right? One side, let's say the outer side of the circle, is as smooth as a knife, no issue there. But then the inner side is bumpy, with all the you know, the teeth, which cannot be used for shechita because it drags, it pulls, it, right? It doesn't slice cleanly. That would render the animal a treifa. That's possible. Hashecher magal yad. If one uses a magal yad on the smooth side, Bitsur uses a stone, a sharp stone. Ubekana, sharp reed. Shechitas Aksher, in all these cases, it's okay. And the mission continues with a very generalization, of a big klal. Hakol Shechitin, all can do Shechitin, lo ilum Shechitin, and always. And then we'll explain exactly what this generalization is referring to. Bakol Shechitin can use anything for Shechitin. So actually, Hakoil refers even to a mumar, a renegade Jew. Lo'ela means even at night, etc. Bakoil means any type of instrument. Chutz magal katzer. Except for a magal katzer, which is, again, a certain type of sickle, which has pegimois. Rashi says it has these teeth, which are actually all sort of leaning in one direction. The teeth are actually slanted in one direction. You can't use it. A megera. Megera is like a saw, right? With teeth. A shinayim. Teeth. Real teeth. Rashi says the teeth here are still connected to the animal's cheek. You're going to take the animal's cheek and use it as a knife. That's a poiron. Also, you may not use a nail. A nail that's connected. A fingernail, right? Why? What's wrong with all these items? They choke, they pull on the simanim because of the imperfections before the bump, because of the bumps. Instead of doing a clean slice, they pull, they drag, they injure it. And that's not really a proper shechit. Okay, so we have two parts to the Mishnah. Magal Yad, Sur Kana is okay. Magal Chatzir, Megera, Shinaim, Tzipur is no good. Now the Mishnah began that Magal Chatzir, Tzur and Kana, one uses them, it's okay. Shechitas akshir. Now, whenever we have that type of language, it sounds like it's b'di'evet. If it's done after the fact, it works. Apparently, it's not something we recommend. Why? What's wrong? Ashayichid. Right? Ashayichid, right? Sounds like, okay, if it was done. Ashayichid means the yevad in, it works. But initially, you should not use these tools. What's wrong? So let's go through them one by one. We have the magal yad, that's the sickle with the two sides. One is sharp, one is bumpy. We have the rock, we have the kana. So I understand the first one. Might be a problem. Bishlamib Magal Yad. I understand why you shouldn't use the Magal Yad, because although he is specifically going to use the sharp side, the smooth side, but Dilma Asilam Abed Bidachisa. He might mistakenly use the other side, which is possible. So don't get involved. El Atzur Vakana, El Chatchil Loi. What's wrong with Atzur and Akana? Brahmini, we have a Braisa, that's perfectly fine. Bakal Shechten, one can use any utensil for Shechita. Bein Betzur, Bein Meschuchis, Bein Mekrim Shel Kana, a rock. Piece of glass, krumish al kana, piece of a reed. Even lechatchil, it's okay. Why we? The answer is like this: is it off the ground or still connected? Lekashe kan, the brisa which allows lechatchil, betalish. These things are off the ground. It's just a loose rock, piece of a kana. That's okay lechatchil, as long as it's sharp and kan b'mechuber. The Mishnah, which doesn't allow a speaking that's still growing on the ground, still connected in the ground. Which makes it difficult to do a proper swing, a proper, you know, cutting motion. In fact, we have a big machlekes. Some say it's even possible. If one uses something which is mechubel lekarka, Rebbe poysel. Rebbe says it's possible. Rashi brings the pasuk. Vayikachas ma'achelas. From Avraham Avinu, he took a ma'achelas. I took a knife. It sounds like it's. Right, we learn from there. It has to be an item that you pick up, that you take, not connected to the ground. So it's critical, it's essential to the process, it has to be detached. That's Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Chiya Machshir, Rebbe Chiya disagrees, he says you can use it, but you know what, it's not preferred. And our Mishnah, which shies away from attached items, is Rebbe Chiya speaking. It works, but the Yevet, but not the Chatchit. Right? Ad kan like Kamachshir. Rebbe Chiya, El Bedi Yevet. It's true, Rebbe Chiya allows it, but only once it's done, it's done. But initially, you should not use it. Okay, says the Gemara, "Mayu kimto Rebbe Chiya." So you've now lined up the Mishnah with Rebbe Chiya, and it's only good Rebbe Yevet. After it's done, it's okay. El Hadasai. What about a Braisa which says, "Bakal shoychten, bein be talosh, bein be mechuber." You can use anything, talosh, mechuber, detached, attached, and positioning isn't either an issue, whether the knife is on top of the animal or vice versa, ben shasak and lamalo, like we do today, right? The knife is on top, coming down on the neck, or perhaps the other way around, ben shasak and lamato, the knife is on the bottom, facing upward, of course, and the neck is on top. Even though it's a bit cumbersome, it works. Okay, so this braisa, whose shita is reflected in this braisa? Whose shita is being promoted in this braisa? Mani. Loi Rebbe v'Rav Chiya, not Rebbe or Rav Chiya. Why? It cannot work like any of them. Ir Rav Chiya de'evad in chatchil loi. Kud Rav Chiya, it's only allowed b'di'evad. And here the Brice allows using something attached. Even chatchil. Ir Rebbe de'evad nami loi. Kud Rebbe, it's even worse. B'di'evad, it doesn't work. Loi im Rav Chiya. No, the Brice is going like Rav Chiya. V'afilu chatchil. And the Brice really allows using attached items, even lechatchil. We'll see in a minute how that jives with our Mishnah, where we said that even according to Rav Chiya, it's only b'di'evad. Let's see, we'll get that in a minute. The reason why the Brice cited b'di'evad was to highlight Rebbe's opinion that even b'di'evad is possible. If you use something mechubar, according to Rebbe, even b'di'evad is possible. Yichachasamachelas doesn't conform to the requirements. According to Rav Chiya, mechubar is okay. According to our Mishnah, just b'di'evad. According to the Brice, even chatchila. Now comes the next collision. But our Mishnah, which was established to be like Rav Chiya, says that only Sheikhad, I mean he does it, but the Yavid works. Chatchila not. And the Braisa here seems to say, according to Rav Chiya, even Chatchila it's okay to use something attached. Mani loy Rabbi Rav Chiya. So the Mishnah, which says, but the Yavid again, it's not going like Rabbi who says it's possible, according to Rav Chiya, it's Chatchila. So the Mishnah, which says only but the Yavid, who's it going like? Loy Rabbi Rav Chiya. Just told me Chatchila, it's okay to use mechuber. V'Rabbi, the Avodah Milay, even the Avodah doesn't work. Later, Rabbi Chia says the Gemara, sure, it's going like Rabbi Chia. I feel Chatchila. This price which says that even Chatchila is okay, that's going like Rabbi Chia. Ah, what about our Mishnah? Umas is Netanya Sheikhet Rabbi. Our Mishnah which says that it's only good with the Yevet, that's in fact Rebbe's Shita. So we're turning around the whole arrangement. It's the opposite. According to Rebbe Chia, it's Mutiv in Chatchila. According to Rebbe, sometimes Mechubar is possible with the Yevet, sometimes it's Kasher with the Yevet. So that's the more hold it. We have to reconcile this apparent contradiction in Rebbe. Then you tell me, according to Rebbe, whose opinion is reflected in our Mishnah, if you use mechubar, it works with the Yevet. And the Braisa seems to say even with the Yevet is possible. Kasha, the Rebbe had the Rebbe. In fact, he says possible, clearly. That's a contradiction within Rebbe. Like Kasha, it depends on the circumstance. There are two types of things that are connected. Naturally connected or artificially connected. And the Braisa, where Rebbe says it's possible, it's talking about it was connected naturally. It's a reed growing out of the ground. So that doesn't conform, that doesn't fit the requirements. It has to be something detached, utensil. Kan betolosh ubasev chibroi. In the Mishnah where it says you can use it b'di'evit, that's talking about something which isn't naturally connected. It was tolosh, he had already taken it off the ground, he pulled the rock off the ground, then he put it back in. So here, technically it's okay, but the chatchila shouldn't use it. Some explain because he might end up using something which is mechubar, naturally mechubar. One thing might lead to the next. Yeah, the Ran says that. Says the Gemara. Okay, so let's just make heads and tails here. What's going on? According to Rav Chia, there's no requirement for something to be talush. Even mechubar is good. Lechatchila. According to Rebbe, it depends. The two categories: mechubar naturally is possible with the Yevet. Mechubar artificially, you should shy away from that. But if it was used, it's okay. Now you're coming up with an interesting distinction between something which is, look, they're both mechubar. Well, big difference. This is naturally connected. This is what's connected later. What's the difference? The fact is they're both connected. There's a big difference. Sanya. In fact, I'll find you a braisa which supports this differentiation. Hashechet b'muchni. So you have this this wheel which has a knife connected to it, and he spins this wheel and does shechita in that manner, using the wheel with the knife on it. Right. So he puts the animal next to the wheel, spins it, and the knife cuts through the siman. Shechita is kosher. It's okay. However, the mechubar lekarka shchitas epsula shchitas ekshera. One second, and if it's something which is mechubar lekarka, it's also kosher. No, it's talking because of a shachaba shchitas ekshera. For instance, he takes a knife, inserts it into the ground, and does shchita with it. It works. Hayatzur yoytzim nakoisel ikana oilem eilav b'shachaba. Let's say something which is naturally connected, naturally part of the ground, a boulder, a sharp stone sticking out of the wall, or a reed, which is naturally growing out of the ground, and use that for shachat boy, shasip sula, it doesn't work. So the question is, how do we understand this price? Here, we say, mechubar lekarka is okay, no tzakan b'koisel is okay, and then we say, no, a rock out of the ground, a reed growing out of the ground is possible, kashna adadi. It seems to be an inherent contradiction within the price itself. Here we say mechubar lekarka is okay, here we say it's not. Oh! One is natural, one is artificial. Allah shema minot, apparently. We see this distinction. That shani mechubar meikaroi, shani ve mechubar leikaroi, letolosh l'pasev chibroi. The big difference between using for a shkita something which is connected meikaroi naturally, like a reed growing out of the ground, like a rock out of the mountain, right, which is possible even b'di'evit, as opposed to l'tolosh, l'psev chibroi, something which had been disconnected, and then we reinserted it. That should not be used, because one thing might lead to the next, but b'di'evit, it works for me, no. So this proved our point. Okay, so in summation, according to... So using something which is mechuber l'karka, according to Rav Chiya, it's okay l'chadchila, according to Rabbi. Naturally, mechuber is possible even b'di'evit, based on the pasuk v'ikachas ma'achelas, but if it was only attached later, it's kosher b'di'evit. All the best to you, Natzlach Rav.